Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website. It's strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. If you're listening by shortwave radio, this is radio program number 35. And you'll find that on the website. It's under S4TJ Radio. Strength for the Journey, the website, has a number of articles that are posted there under a tab called Articles. And we also, there's interviews that I've done with Rick Wiles of True News on there as well under a tab called Interviews. And there's also these radio programs under S4TJ Radio. There's also a tab, I encourage you to take a look at it, it's Panama Power Crusade. We just recently had, last fall, we had a crusade here in Panama with Third Day Power, and they came. And we did a nationwide crusade. We had a lot of great positive things that happened. A lot of lives were touched. A lot of people gave their heart to the Lord. We went to colleges. They were actually allowed to preach the gospel and have an altar call right there in the college university. And that's some differences that where the hearts are still open, where the gospel can truly be preached. A lot of people live in the United States and they think they're living in a free nation, but you can't preach the gospel in a college. It's getting even harder and harder. The more persecution is coming even to try to preach on the streets and witness. So there's a lot of freedom that is in other parts of the world, and I believe that that is where the harvest is right now. It's out there in the world where God told us to go. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, you know, there's other places than your little hometown, and there's other people that have a heart to hear the truth. And if they're not willing to hear the truth, Jesus said to brush the dust off your feet and move on. And I am so thankful now that we're here at a place where if you get somebody a gospel tract, they actually will take it from you and actually read it. And I've heard even we passed out just last 2 or 3 weeks ago, we passed out about 7,000 tracts all over the Cherokee province. And I heard testimonies of people who's actually received a tract that was sitting on their car. And one person that got one of these tracts said my mother had got one of these tracts down in the city where she lives. And she said it really, this tract made a huge difference in her life. And so we are sowing seeds all over this country right now. We are just received 27,000 more tracts, and we just have been organizing them. Tomorrow morning, I have a meeting with the pastors here. We have about 30 pastors, and they're all excited about getting tracts to give out to their church members to go spread the gospel and reach the lost. And this is really exciting because pastors are on board to reach the lost. They're not just interested in just having their own sheep, but they're looking for more sheep. They're looking to reach people that don't know anything about Jesus yet or don't have a personal relationship. And we have also, there's a donate button on our website. The donate button is through PayPal. And if you're interested in reaching the lost, if you're interested in sowing seeds in a ministry, that all the money that goes into this on our website goes directly into the ministry. There's nothing for living expenses or anything else that'll go to pay for tracts. We want to get another 25,000 tracts sent here by the time we do the crusade in November with Janet and Ray Clark. We just got 27,000 more tracts that just came in, but we want to get another 25,000. We have crusades already scheduling right now for the city of Colon. That's a very dark city. There's a lot of oppression, a lot of poverty, and they need the gospel there. And we're going to go where the gospel is needed, where people need to hear the gospel. And so we will be scheduling a number of events across the country, and we're really excited about the Lord opening doors right now. I was just at a conference here a few days ago, and And I had a chance to speak with a number of pastors in other cities, and they are right now, they're going to try to schedule crusades when Janet and Ray come in their city, and we're going to have almost 20 days of them being here. And what I love about my friends, Janet and Ray Clark, is they have a passion for the lost, that they have actually a desire to go out and reach the lost, and they preach the gospel wherever they are, and they use their strength to demonstrate power, and it attracts people that never would go to church. They'll have an audience that never would set foot in a church, but they would love to see a woman who can tear apart a 2.5-inch telephone book with her bare hands or break a baseball bat over her leg. And Janet Clark was the first woman ever to be on the power team. She had a life goal of one day being on the power team, and she began to work out. And this was back in about 1988 when we first met. And she said the Lord told her that she would be the first woman on the power team. And so she began to work out, even though she had no promise of ever being the first woman on the power team, which is a ministry that demonstrates the power of strength feats that they do, they call them. And there had never been a woman on this in this ministry before, because no woman could do what these men do. And she began to train and train, and she trained for 12 years until the day that she got a phone call from John Jacobs to come and minister with them one night, and she got the job. And then on one of her crusades that she went to in South Africa, she met her husband, Ray Clark, and they began a ministry called Third Day Power. So it's a husband and wife team. And I tell you, Janet has both of them have an amazing ability to use the strength of demonstration to illustrate a message in the spirit realm, that people can actually see something demonstrated with power to illustrate the message they want to give. And so we're just really, really excited about them coming back and doing some amazing feats and reaching the lost. That's our goal, as we want to reach people. And with the Lord's help and His guidance, I know that this is going to happen. There's also a tab on the website. It's called Today's Rhema. And what I use this tab for is many times the Lord will wake me up in the middle of the night or during the early morning hours, and I will just have like a word that I'll have on my heart. There'll be something that I just hear, maybe a sentence or two in my spirit, and it's one of those kind of sentences that you know it's not yourself thinking. It's like, wow, that's really interesting. And so I've learned that when I get that sentence, that the Lord is prompting me to get up and get a pen in my hand, because He wants to tell me something, or He wants me to write that one sentence down, because I know if I don't get up and write that sentence down, that I will, more than likely, I will forget it by the time I wake up again. And this is usually almost every time it's before the sun comes up. And I think about many times how the Lord said that He came and He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And I believe that's a very special time to the Lord to come and visit us and speak with us before the day gets busy and our life just gets on the squirrel wheel and we begin to run through life and think about all the things that we have to do. That the Lord wants that quiet moment when there's no other distractions. And so I got up a couple of days ago and I wrote this word. And you'll find this word will be written on that tab that I was just mentioning on called Today's Rhema. And it's just a word from the Lord. And there's a number of words that you may be encouraged by if you want to go through that tab and read some of these words. But this word began, "My life is offered to those willing to give up their own. I will not marry a prostitute, for the love of this world is enmity with me. I seek those who love me, not hate me. Would you marry someone who hates you? Would you? Who would? If you marry this world, you have chosen your mate, not only for this life, but the life to come. You must divorce the world to marry me. I will not commit adultery. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will save it. You can't have it both ways. It's either me or this world. You can't have both. Choose this day whom you will serve. If your soul longs for me, live like it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in the things of this world, your heart will be in this world, and your eternal destiny will be in the heart of this world. If your treasure is in heaven, then your heart will be there also. That is how you give me your heart, your whole heart. This is the difference between those who have truly given me their heart and those who haven't. Those who truly love me in word and deed. Are you among those who love me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me? If your heart is far from me now, it will be far from me forever. Repent, therefore, and return to me with your whole heart, and I will forgive you of your adultery with this world. If you do not repent, all adulterers will have their part in the lake of fire. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts from this adulterous generation. This is a choice you must make. I will cleanse you once you make this choice. If you choose this world, the God of this world will be your bride, and you will go with him to his destination. Divorce him now and come away with me, for this is the purpose of your creation, to be with me. What is your destiny worth? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall man give in exchange for his soul? The consequences of this choice will be unbearable. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Love the truth, and you will have life as well. To love the truth is to embrace the truth, the author of truth. To love a lie is to embrace a lie and the father of lies. Divorce him now and come away with me. Let go of this world and the things of this world and come away with me. Judgment is coming upon this world and those who have embraced it. Let go of it, and it will let go of you. Let go, for the reapers are coming. Once a soul is reaped, they are the bride of whom they have served forever. Let go, for the world has a grip on many. But you must let go for it to let go of you. Many are lovers of pleasure and lovers of comfort and not lovers of God. Deny yourself. That means deny yourself, for you cannot be my disciple and follow me unless you deny yourself. If you do not deny yourself, you have chosen to love yourself more than me, and you cannot be my disciple and follow me. If you love anyone more than me, if your possessions mean more to you than me, then you can have them. But the price to keep them will be much more than the price you paid to get them. Let go, for time is short. The wedding bells can be heard in the distance. For those who have ears to hear, those who follow me have ears to hear. Follow the sound of the bells, for this is why you have been following me. This is the destiny and the purpose of your following, to arrive at my wedding. These are those who paid the price to follow me, to be my bride. This will be their eternal reward to those who gave up their life in this world to receive the life in the world to come. And this was the word that I was given here a few days ago. And I just want to really, I want you to let those words just sink into you, because many are married to the world right now and they will not divorce it. They trust in their stuff more than do in God. And the evidence of this is that if they're challenged to give up their stuff, they won't do it. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is like what happened to the rich young ruler when Jesus said, well, you got one thing that you must do, and that is go sell what you have and give to the poor and then come follow me. And the Lord went right straight to the root of the problem, and that was that this man trusted in his stuff more than he would God. And he had to demonstrate his trust in the Lord by giving up what he had to get what he didn't have. This is a difficult thing for all of us, is to give up what we have, because the truth is we think we trust the Lord, but give up what you got is a whole new ballgame. And we're going to listen to a song here in just a moment. It's a song by Hillsong, and it's called None But Jesus. Is there none but Jesus for you? Will you forever live to praise Him and thank Him and be thankful in your heart that you're even alive right now, that you can listen to this program. Because the truth is, many interventions in our life, God has done that we are alive at this point in time. And if we would recognize the hand of God on us and realize how much we have to be thankful for, it would be life-changing. It would change our heart. Because a grateful heart does us good. The Bible says it does us good like a medicine. That there's a healing power on a grateful heart. That if we will thank Him for all that He's done, it does something on the inside of us. It has a healing balm that's applied to our heart to heal the wounds of the past and all the bitterness and all the resentfulness and whatever in the past that has hardened our heart. It has a way to soften our heart if we'll just be thankful. And I think many times what hardens our heart even more is not being thankful and not recognizing the hand of God on our life, that we are alive right now because of His intervention in our life and His desire to transform us, to be like Him. You know, this word that the Lord gave me, when I just go back and I reread it, I didn't realize the power that it had until I read it to my family the next that morning that I wrote it. Because I was just writing as I heard the words, I just wrote as I heard. And it brought tears to my eyes because I didn't realize the desire that He has for us to let go of the world, because it says that the love of this world is enmity with Him. That there's no way for us to love the world and to love Him. In fact, 1 John says that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. That His love is not inside of us. Because what happens is when we love the things of this world, the love of this world is what happens inside of us. It's a selfish love. It's a self-serving love. It's not His love that's abandoning. That the only way to get His abandoning and other-serving love that we would serve others is for us to no longer serve ourselves. That we would abandon our own desires and our own wishes and find out what His wishes are for our life. And then when this transformation takes place, when we actually will yield to that love and the effect of that love in our life will transform our heart, that if we'll love Him, it says that the Father will love us. And, you know, there's so much deep richness inside the Gospel of John. In chapter 14 through 17, it said that if we love the world, he said that if we don't obey God, it says it proves us that we don't love Him. But if that we love Him, we'll obey Him. And it said then the Father will love us, and we will manifest ourselves to Him. And I believe the manifestation of that love is the very love that comes inside of us, that now we have His love inside of it. That is the manifestation of His love, is actually it comes and lives on the inside of it. Now we love others as we love ourselves. Because if we love ourselves, the love for others will never have any room to pour inside of us. And this is why we have to abandon ourselves in order to get His love. And if we will abandon ourselves, that God's love will come on the inside of us and do an amazing work. And this is what we all need, is we need the work of the love of God inside of us, that we would love our fellow man. And if we love ourselves more than others, it's manifested because we just live a selfish life, that we just desire to please ourselves, to do whatever we want, to go wherever we want to go. It's all about ourselves. And if we will just abandon ourselves and say, Lord, I need Your love inside of me. I want You more than I want life itself. If we will make that kind of commitment and ask the Lord to come into our heart and change us, transform us, make us the kind of person that He wants us to be, He will do it. But our problem is that we really don't want Him in our life, because it requires a change of life. It requires an obedience that many of us don't want to give, that we would rather live our life the way we want to, and we disguise ourselves as Christians by going to church on Sunday, but really having a heart for God and the things of God doesn't happen between Sunday and the next Sunday is that we still have our own agenda to live on a daily basis. And God wants to transform us and get His love inside of us so that we really can love our neighbors ourselves. Because the truth is, that's the only way we'll ever love our neighbor is ourselves, is to have His love inside of us. And the greatest manifestation of the love of God inside of us is that we actually care about another man's soul just as much as we do our own. And the truth is, most of us really don't have God's love because we really care more about ourselves than we do another person. And if you look around the church today, there's many or very few that have a heart for the lost, that have a passion to see another man's soul saved. And I believe that this is the manifestation of God's love, is that we actually care about another man's soul just as much as we do another, or our own. And if we will actually love God and obey Him, that this love will come inside of us, and that He will give us a passion for the lost. And we'll realize that maybe, you know, if you think that you're saved just merely because you mouth a prayer, but there's no fruit to follow, there's no obedience that was required to us, just like when the woman at the well, or the woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." He told the man that was at the pool of Bethesda, he said, "Go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you." But there was a requirement that came at the healing and the forgiveness. And there was 9 lepers that never came back to thank Jesus because they had a life to live for themselves. And God wants us to live our life for Him now. And if we will let Him do the work that He wants to do in us, then He can do a work through us. And this is what we need right now in this world. We need real believers who actually have a heart for others. So thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. Be strength for the journey.